Please turn with me in your Bibles to, we'll have two different scriptures this morning. Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Be diligent in these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy progress may be manifested unto all.
Good morning, brethren. Thank you, Brandon, for reading those scriptures. As Leon was giving the announcements, he said I was going to give the lesson this morning. And then I thought he was going to say if he done all right, he can do it again this evening. That's what I thought you was going to say. But anyway, I guess if I don't do a very good job, there'll be somebody else up here this evening now. But I appreciate the opportunity that you allow me to do this, and I'm glad that I can fill in and help once in a while. Our lesson today is entitled, Greasing the Squeaky Wheel. Now, there's a lot of people that go through this life, and all they get done is greasing that squeaky wheel. They don't notice the other three that's not squeaking. When one wheel begins to squeak, we give it the attention necessary to silence it. And when we think of that with something with a squeaking wheel, we think of children, don't we? Children don't think they're getting enough attention. They'll learn to squeak very early on in life. Life has a way of getting out of control. We know and we see it everywhere that problems will come out of nowhere. The government changes the rules, our work changes, our friends changes, sickness comes at an inconvenient time. Have you ever seen sickness come at a convenient time? Absolutely we haven't, have we? And all these become squeaky wheels. Those that we love demand our attention. Children never get too old to want attention. Grandchildren expect more attention than their parents did. Friends and loved ones become ill and need our attention. Sometimes more than one wheel is squeaking. And when that happens, it seems like we're pulled here and there. We're running here with our little can of grease to grease this wheel while there's another one squeaking over here. And then we get that one stopped, there's another one over here. And it seems like we're just running all time, trying to quieten those squeaky wheels. And as we do that, before we know it, the day is gone. The week is gone. A year is gone. 10 years is gone. Then our life is gone. But all those squeaky wheels were greased. But our goal in life was not accomplished. And that was our service to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is how the devil keeps people out of heaven. He creates those squeaky wheels. When someone obeys the gospel, they start their journey determined. I mean, when they start, they've obeyed the gospel, they're looking straight down the line, they say, I'm going to serve the Lord till the day I die. But they are distracted along the way by life. Now, Satan is an expert at causing people to leave the Lord. If you will remember what Job said in Job chapter 1 and verse 7, God asked the devil, said, well, where have you been or what are you doing? And he said, oh, I've just been walking to and fro, backward and forth. You see, he'd been watching the earth. He seen yours and he sees mine. He sees our weakness. That is what he's going to tempt us with, that our weakness. because he will seldom attack our strengths, will he? But he will focus on his weakness. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, I'm sure almost everybody knows what that is, that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeing who he may devour. And if anybody has watched any of those animal shows on PBS or those other channels, especially about lions, you will see those lions as they're looking at a herd of whatever kind of animals out there. They won't pick out the biggest and the strongest, will they? They look for something wrong with one. Maybe it's got a hurt leg, or maybe it's about half grown, or maybe it's a small one. That's the one that they want, because it is too much trouble to catch those big, mature animals. They want one that there's something wrong with. Now, it is said that a body in motion tends to stay in motion. So that makes it hard to stop, but it makes it easy to divert. And Satan is a master at that. The road to heaven is a straight and narrow path. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14 when you get there. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, as we think about Satan wants to divert us to the broad way. Now, he will come and he will get our weaknesses, as we just discussed. Now, the first thing he wants us to do is maybe get us to miss a Wednesday night. You know, we're still walking circumspect like we're supposed to. But now he may put something in our... He may put a squeaky wheel somewhere on a Wednesday night that you need to take care of, that you want to take care of. So what he does, he diverts you from coming to that Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe it's going to be a real good study, something that you could learn to help you stay more faithful than what you are. So you have missed that one. Now, he's diverted you. He says, I'm doing good with that. So the next Wednesday comes along. He diverts you again. He puts in something else out there to divert you. Another squeaky wheel. Well, one Wednesday night leads to another and then another. And the first thing you know, you don't come to Wednesday night class anymore. He's diverted you. Then when he sees that you're not a faithful member on Wednesday night, what's he going to do? He's going to put another squeaky wheel Sunday night. He's going to say, "Well, here's another squeaky wheel. I need to take care of that." Well, one becomes two, two becomes three, and he has diverted you from a Wednesday and Sunday night services. And he's got you then. He's kind of pulled you back into the world. So he's done what he wants to do. He wants people in the church. He's done got the worldly people. He's got them. They're his to begin with. But he wants us, brothers and sisters in Christ, the faithful in the church. Now, many of the Christians that leave do so without ever intending to leave. I've talked to people after I baptized them, and they say, "I'm going to stay faithful unto death. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to help the church here." And 2 weeks later, they're gone. We never see them again. There's people that comes up that have been members of the church for years and years and years, and they fall away and come back. And they come before the church and they ask for prayers. And we pray for them. But they're still not faithful. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, we never see them any again. But there's not one that ever said, "After I come before, I'm going to come two or three times and I'm going to fall away again." Not one has ever told me that. They have good intentions, but Satan has diverted them off of the narrow path to the broad way. A lot of those people come, the members of the church become so preoccupied with the world, they forget about serving God. Now, we live in a world, and I don't have to tell you at all about this, but it's full of distractions. When you walk out that door, that's where it begins. The deal of it is you're going to have to be sound enough in the faith to resist it. Paul the Apostle challenged us in Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. And on down in verse 2, Paul tells, we can ask ourselves, well, how do we live that life, that sacrificial life? And he tells us in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word transform is like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's what that word means. You are transformed. When you become a member of the Lord's church, you are transformed. You become a new creature. And the Apostle Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 13. Now, as we read that, you can look at that, and that sounds great. But there was one writer says, how do we do that while we're in the world? Well, this is how we do it. We stay alert. We must take control of what our minds or our thoughts dwell on. Because if we don't, brothers and sisters in Christ, we will be easily distracted by Satan's false hope. Now, we must turn our back on the world if we are to face heaven. You know, we can't face north and south at the same time. We're going to be facing one or the other. And we must choose one or the other. You and I have to choose. Everyone makes a choice who he'll follow. It'll either be God or it'll be the devil. There's no in between. There's no straddling the fence. There's no such thing as looking in between. Now, if we depend upon this fleshly body that we have, if we depend on self and our strength and our allies and our money, we're dependent upon the fleshly things of this life to sustain us. But our soul depends upon the faith and God and Holy Scriptures, and we depend upon other Christians to help us to stay faithful. So we have to look. We have to look. We have to answer these questions ourselves. Which do you depend on? Do you depend on the fleshly desires or the spiritual desires? Once we obey the gospel, or once that we have obeyed the gospel and left and then come back, we must be prepared to make a clean break with the world. In other words, we can't have a little bit of world and a little bit of our family of God. We can't have the family of the world and family of God too. We have to choose. Are we going to serve the Satan in the world, or are we going to serve the Almighty God and have that wonderful home in heaven someday when we end this life here upon this earth? Now, the world is the physical realm in which we live. We know that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. But loving the world does not refer to just loving sin in 1 John chapter 2 and 15. To love this world is to place a high value on one's earthly life. To love the things of the world is to desire to have things above everything else. In other words, you will put anything on the back burner to gain this earthly things, the material things that the world has to offer. Now, when one obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian, he becomes a new creature. He becomes a different kind of person, he or she, I should say. You have a new life. And brethren, you have a completely, completely fresh start once again. When we obey the gospel, we should have a different view of the world. We should have a different mindset, which takes us back to Matthew chapter 6:33. We need to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we do that, all those things that were said before, the material things is going to be added unto us. It may not be what we want, but it'll be what we need. We have a new focus on life. We focus on spiritual things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. In 1 Peter 3:13 says, one has a new country. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that we have a new citizenship. And when I think of that, I always think of a song that we sing. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, why is that? Look at what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that is reserved in heaven for you and me. So we have that new hope. And we have an inheritance. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read these few verses and then we're going to close our lesson. Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin in verse 20 and we will read to 27. Ephesians chapter 20 to 27. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt and according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Now this is our challenge as a Christian. We must become something noticeably different from other people. They have, as we talked in our Bible class this morning, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, we must let our light shine where those people out there can see it. Because He called us, brethren, to be the light of the world. So, with that thought in mind, let's close where we begin this lesson. So, from time to time, we're all going to have to grease that squeaky wheel. But don't be consumed, and don't let Satan divert you from the path that leads to destruction. If there is someone here today that has not obeyed the gospel, please, the time is at the utmost. It's the utmost important that you would obey the gospel today. You have to hear the gospel, believe it, confess Him before others, repent of your sins, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. Then you become a new creature with a new life, a new view of the world, a new hope, and a new inheritance. If Satan has diverted you, please come back to that narrow path. Please come before the church and let us pray for you to where you can have your name written in the book of life again. If there's someone here, if you just need the prayers of the church, whatever, if you have a need today that the congregation can help you with in any way, please, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
If you give